From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes a new movie called Challengers, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya plays Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who transforms her husband, Art, into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt her husband out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when Art finds himself standing across a net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Tensions run high as past and present collide. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hi, Elise Lunan here, co-host with Gwyneth of the Goop podcast. You are going to want to stick around for today's guest, the one and only Sarah Paulson. You probably already know this, but she's amazing. Sarah is our next guest in our special 8-episode series that we're hosting in partnership with Banana Republic called Women on Top. I'll tell you a little more about that before we get to our conversation. Some of the most interesting businesses, or maybe all of the most interesting businesses, were born out of curiosity, a desire to explore, to ask questions and share answers. This is the space that Gwyneth was in when she started Goop. It's also the space from which Banana Republic was founded back in 1978, when two California creatives with adventurous spirits began upcycling military surplus clothing. And the rest was history. When we talked to the team at Banana Republic about partnering up on a special podcast series, their vision revolved around the idea of living a life with no boundaries. This is the inspiration behind their clothing today. It drives how they source premium materials from around the world, the ways they choose to innovate with their designs, and how they think about infusing style with substance. This is all on display in their fall collection, which combines iconic Banana Republic styles with a modern twist. To see it all and to shop Banana Republic's fall collection, head to bananarepublic.com/goop.
Don't hold anything too tightly. Just wish for it. Want it, let it come from the intention of real truth for you, and then let it go.
For me, our soul is like, it's unbound, it's limitless, but we will use words to limit ourselves.
When people stop believing that somebody's got your back or Superman's coming, we turn to ourselves, and that's where you become empowered.
Courageous participation attracts positive things.
I'm Gwyneth Paltrow. This is the Goop Podcast, bringing together thought leaders, culture changers, creatives, founders and CEOs, scientists, doctors, healers and seekers, here to start conversations, because simply asking questions and listening has the power to change the way we see the world. Today is no exception. I'll let Elise fill you in on her extraordinary guest. All right, over to Elise.
Sarah Paulson is a renowned and award-winning actress. She's currently starring as Zandra in The Goldfinch, the movie based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Donna Tartt of the same name. But she's also become an outspoken person in the culture, a style star, and someone I think we're all looking to on how to lead in these turbulent times. It was more than a pleasure to get to talk to Sarah. She's hilarious, for starters, incredibly talented, and brilliantly smart. Today, we covered a lot of ground. We talked about Sarah's road to success, how she spent many years wondering if and when she'd get her big break, but that she's thankful now that she didn't have wild success in her 20s. I'll let her explain why. We talk about her acting approach, how she likes to take on roles that frighten and challenge her, that she's drawn to characters whose moral compass may be turned upside down, and what that looked like when she was preparing for the role of Zandra. Lastly, we talk about how Sarah unknowingly manifested the role and the lesson to be learned from setting your intention and allowing fate to step in and give you a push in the right direction.
I never really had a career design or a career plan. It was sort of like a script came to me. They wanted me to do it. And if it was at all scary to me is more the thing I look for. Yeah. I want to be frightened and afraid I'm not going to be able to do it.
Let's get to my conversation with Sarah Paulson. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I know you're racing around.
Yeah, but that's okay. Everyone's got to take a stop. Yeah.
So, Zandra, I have to say, when I told Gwyneth I was coming and that we were going to talk, she was like, what is she playing in Goldfinch? I was like, Zandra. And she's like, what the hell? But now I can't imagine Zandra as anyone but you.
Oh.
But you had to audition for the role, right?
I did have to audition for the role, and I have in some ways that people could deem really great. I haven't had to audition for things in quite some time, but I personally love to audition. I think it's actually, it makes me feel more peaceful and calm when I walk onto a set because I know they're not going to sort of be left wondering, well, I thought she was really great and I just assumed she'd be able to play this part because of other things she's done that I've liked. Whereas this time, you know, or when I've auditioned for something, I have actually quote-unquote proven myself or shown them what my choices are, and then they decided that I was the person they wanted, so therefore I don't have to worry that I'm going to disappoint them because they've already seen the package, basically.
Right.
They've seen the goods.
Right.
They've opened it up. It's out of the plastic. You're walking around in the shoe. You're scuffing up the bottom. They know what it is. They're keeping it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So how did you audition for Zandra?
Well, I was told that John Crowley, who's our wonderful director, couldn't really imagine me in the part. And I had been obsessed about this book, really, really obsessed. I was single at the time and living alone and reading this book.
Crying.
Quiet weeping. In my bed at night. Saying no to plans, like people, you know, it was like the only date I was interested in having was my date with Donna Tartt and the Goldfinch. And so people would be like, don't you want to go to this movie or don't you want to go to this dinner? And I was like, I don't. I want to read the Goldfinch. And it was probably 3 a.m. at one point when I was in the Vegas section of the book. It was really late at night. And which is the part of the story that features Zandra with an X. And I just said out loud to no one, because as I said, I was single. And I just said, if they ever make a movie of Goldfinch, I want to play Zandra. And I kind of whispered it. And then I got to, which was crazy. But
it's
manifestation, which I didn't know I believed in. And then I actually have a provable moment of this thing actually worked. So anyway, John Crowley did not imagine me in the role. I guess he knew me from The People versus O.J. Simpson, and I can understand why the girl playing Marsha Clark doesn't quite. You're kind of like, Zandra, Marsha Clark, same kind of vibe. So I do get why his initial reaction was, I don't think you're our girl. You're swell, but not for this movie. And I was just, you know, I love that kind of thing when someone says no to me. I'm kind of like a dog with a bone. And so I asked them if they would watch a tape at least that I could make. And they were very lovely and said, yes, you can go to Warner Brothers. You can go and make a tape with our casting director and John will not be there. And I was like, okay, great. So I got a wig that was actually my Cordelia wig from American Horror Story. And I put that wig on. I got a spray tan. I wore a weird mishmash of clothing. There was like a Rodarte crocheted sweater that had like glitter on it that was like a crappie. And then it was like a little Marc Jacobs lace slip number and some shoes that I don't know. Who knows why I had them? They were not great, and they were really tall. I bought a pack of cigarettes, and I sat in the Warner Brothers parking lot and screamed in my car. I got there early so I could be screaming, because Zandra has a very, very deep, raspy voice per yeah. Donna Tartt's description, and I don't have that voice, much to my disappointment. You know when you get sick and you've been coughing for days yeah. and you're like, oh my God, I sound like Brenda Vaccaro. I love it. that was like my dream to have for Zandra, and the only way I could do it was just to at all random hours and moments, I would just scream. And so I screamed for about an hour in my car before my audition.
I thought you were going to say you smoked a whole pack of cigarettes.
I didn't, but I did smoke some cigarettes. And I did light a cigarette in my audition. I didn't even ask permission, which, you know, could have been a bad move.
In California,
in a small room, in an audition room with people, for all I know, were allergic to smoke. But, you know, like I said, I was a dog with a bone and really just needed to.
And that seems like a Zandra move.
Seems like a Zandra move, yeah. And then I had to wait a while, and then I heard that I had gone from not being part of a conversation to landing right in the middle of the conversation per my audition tape, which was a really thrilling thing to hear, although it wasn't the same as at the top of the conversation. It was just right in the middle of the conversation. And then John apparently wanted to sit down with me, and I was shooting an M. Night Shyamalan movie called Glass in Philadelphia, which is very close to New York, but I was unable to get to New York to see John, so we did a Skype. And he just felt, which is so lovely, he just was like, I can't cast anyone in a movie that I've never had a conversation with, because so much about how you work with a person is what your dynamic might be like. And so, but yeah, it was one of those things where I won the thing by, and there were a lot of famous gals who were on that list that I was not on. So I really feel somehow a sense of accomplishment.
Well,
because I don't have an Academy Award, and some of those gals did. So,
well, hopefully you'll get one. You're fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, that's nice of you. That's not going to happen, but thank you.
And hey, now let's manifest.
Listen.
It.
Oh, right. I'm supposed to manifest. You will be nominated for an Academy Award. Oh, wouldn't it be amazing? I'm just trying to recreate what I did in that moment. See if I can will it to happen.
I just watched the movie the other night too, and it's such a beautiful. It's everything. It's not everything I love. That sounds wrong, but loss and trauma, and then
that's your favorite go-to thing. Is just anything where there's trauma or loss, you're there.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then the intersection of, or the intervention of fate, mm-hmm. which I think is.
Well, I think that's such a, in this story, it's a sort of sad one, but there can be a great deal of romance to that idea, you know, the left turn you make instead of the right turn, and you end up, you know, it sounds yeah. incredibly, you know, like some kind of rom-com, but I don't mean it that way. But yeah. my whole life changed literally because of a play I was supposed to do in New York that fell through at the very last minute. And instead I went to a dinner with Jessica Lange and Ryan Murphy, and because Jessica is a friend of mine. We had done a play together in 2005 in New York. And so she just said, come with me to this dinner. It was her first season of American Horror Story. LA is not really her town. And she was like, just please come with me. So I did. And I hadn't seen Ryan in a while. And she just turned to him and said, can't you find something for Sarah to do on American Horror Story? And that is how that whole world and my experience on it and with it was born, which then led to the Marcia Clark thing, which then led to right. my career opening up in a different way. So that's a perfect example of had the actor that decided to bow out of that play had not decided to do that, and I had done that play, I don't even know if I'd be sitting here talking to you right now.
No.
I don't know if I would be playing Xandra. I don't know if any of the things that happened in my life would be
right.
happen.
Because you've worked as an actress for a really long time, mm-hmm. which is an admirable feat in of itself. But then was it American Horror Story that took you to?
It was right before. I did a movie called Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene that got some attention at Sundance. And then that was sort of like the turn. I had gone about 6 years with really just not catching a break, nothing. I would have those moments where I would get a job that would seem like a thing, and then it would be a thing for a second, and then nothing for me would happen. There was no velocity. There was mm-hmm. no, just didn't have a motor. There's no engine in the car. It was just like sputtering to a stop. I would get something that would seem like it would do something, and it didn't. But it was Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene that probably started to like write the ship a little bit. And then a movie I did for HBO called Game Change about Sarah Palin, and then 12 Years a Slave and American Horror Story all sort of happened at the same time. So it was like a beautiful trifecta of things that people were paying attention to, because that's really the only thing that makes the difference. Is you can be doing great work in your mother's basement, but if nobody knows you're doing it, it's hard to have it affect
right.
the outcome. Whereas all those movies that I just mentioned were all things that struck a particular chord with people and that ended up having real attention paid to them, and because I was a part of it, therefore,
yeah.
you know.
Let's take a quick break to talk about one of our partners.
Tumi has a soft side. Discover their new Acer bag collection in its pillowy pleats, satin finish, and crescent shape. Acer is the bag to carry for your 9-to-5 and the 5-to-9 plans that follow. Versatility, after all, is Tumi's signature. Shop the full Acer collection on Tumi.com or at a Tumi store near you.
Okay, let's get back to the conversation.
We'll get back to Sarah Paulson in just a second. I mentioned a few weeks ago on the podcast that curiosity is my favorite state of being. I try to carry that attitude with me every day, and it's certainly easier to do it at a place like Goop that places such a premium value on being curious and feeling empowered to explore and ask questions. Banana Republic is another company that values curiosity. Their founding story starts with a California couple who was looking for an adventure. Fun fact, Banana Republic began as a safari-inspired clothing company, and today, the inspiration for their clothing is designing for a life in motion, or as they put it, living a life of possibilities with no boundaries. Their fall collection is iconic Banana Republic, styled for now. So there are utility-inspired styles made from premium materials. Think your favorite dresses and pants updated in animal prints and menswear patterns, and quintessential suede jackets and cashmere sweaters that you'll wear for many seasons to come. And now, Banana Republic is celebrating some true modern icons with Goop through our special podcast series, Women on Top. I hope you'll listen to every episode. These are the women who lead with power, grace, and curiosity, who I think define what it means to break boundaries, and maybe most importantly, who are working hard so that others too can live a life of possibilities. So keep listening and keep shopping with our friends at Banana Republic. To get their fall collection, head to bananarepublic.com/goop. Over the years, it's become more important to me to prioritize my skin and personalize my routine. Weleda is a skincare company that makes that easier. All of their products are free from parabens, phthalates, and synthetic preservatives and fragrances. They're made up of oils extracted from plants and flowers, and each ingredient is carefully selected to work with your skin. Because, let's face it, skincare can be a little tricky. It can be difficult, even frustrating, to sift through so much information on how to best care for your complexion. Weleda gets that your skin has specific needs and that they can change depending on a host of factors, like the season, where you are in the world, and how stressed you are. So they found effective botanical ingredients to support your skin wherever you're at. And Weleda has designed a quiz that you can take to find the flower best suited to bring balance to your skin with their new skincare profiler. Developed with nearly 100 years of holistic beauty knowledge, Weleda believes in the power of a personalized skincare routine and that customization is the key to a healthy, radiant complexion. And I've been experimenting with my own skincare routine at night. To make things easy, I've been using Weleda's one-step cleanser and toner, and then I use Weleda's Sensitive Care Calming Oil. It's a light, fragrance-free oil made with almond extract. And then I'm off to bed. To take Weleda Skincare Profiler quiz and start customizing your own routine, head to Weleda.com. That's Weleda. And use promo code GOOP20 for an additional 20% off your purchase. That's GOOP20. Back to my chat with Sarah Paulson.
I feel like you... I can just tell you my perception of you and sort of the perception of you.
That's sort of terrifying. But yes, please go.
No,
I'm
but
so
you're a style icon in the most interesting way.
Oh. Okay.
And I love that you wore Rodarte to your audition for Xandra. But I feel like we all look to you because it's interesting and prescient and forward. And then I feel like culturally you're really forward and unabashed about...
Well, I live a very unconventional life.
You live an unconventional life.
Yeah.
And you're very... And you should not be apologetic for it, obviously. But
right.
Do you think that because it happened later, you were like, I could give zero fucks?
I don't even know. I'm a person who generally gives too many fucks. And that's mm-hmm. That sometimes has been a problem for me in terms of like my anxiety level or my fear, my worry about like how are things going to... You know, because I think for a long time I spent... many years feeling like I was never going to have an opportunity, because that's really the difference between one actor and another. It's like what opportunity shows up and you can't control. There's so much of that you can't control. And I do feel like more people now are creating their own content and finding ways to make the movies they want to make and find ways for them to different platforms. And there's so much available to people now that they can sort of make things happen. But I'm not a screenwriter and I had not directed at that point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't really know. So I was really at the mercy of other people's opinions and awareness of me or lack there, you know, it was just a kind of, so I do think it was hard fought and it took a long time. So the value of it has like a, it's like a double-edged sword. I both know how it doesn't mean anything in the long game in terms of our lives. And, you know, although our work is very important to us, there are so many other things about my life that I value more mm-hmm. that I couldn't have known that until I was at the point where things were not happening for me. And I had to sort of cultivate that awareness in me to put my focus and my interest in things that maybe matter more. And then at the same time, that's when my working life started. So I can't really tell which came first, my viewpoint about that or where I landed with it, or if it was more circumstantial. It was like, well, it didn't really happen till then. So, you know, I imagine if I had had some kind of wild success in my 20s, I would be a very, very terrifying person.
You think?
I do. Not from a, you know, I'll only eat red M&Ms kind of way. I just mean from that place of I think it's very hard to know yourself. Like you're learning, you know, and now in the world that we live in with social media, I don't know how you could try to get your footing in front of the world. It would be really terrifying and I think would probably make me retreat, whereas I think I sort of found some comfort zone internally around the time when things started to happen. So it didn't knock me over in the same kind of way. The thought of like being open about my personal life and, you know, not being afraid that it was going to cause some ripple effect that would be negative for me in my working life. And if it did, I sort of felt like, well, that's a world I don't want to be a part of. And again, like, not to continue to bring it home about the Ryan Murphy of it all, but like, that environment that you work in when you work with him is so supportive, and it's almost the very thing about you that he loves. You know, your ability to sort of dance on the fringe of something, or your choices that would be scary to most people, but that you're not really frightened by, or if you're frightened, you're doing it anyway. I was in a world that was such a cocoon of safety. So I think I had more confidence to just be who I am and was. And, you know, it's all, you know, we're always evolving. So it's, you know, I think it just, it was the right, the right confluence of events that just made it possible for me. But also the people who were standing next to me, which was Ryan, who was just like, Ryan's an amazing person, and he's just, he does sort of demand authenticity, you know, like, he's not interested in people who bullshit him. He's not interested in having a conversation with someone who's not going to go like right to the nougat of it. You know what I mean? It's like boring to him. And so I think that's an interesting place to sort of, it was like formative years for me. And so it's like, I sort of learned what was okay and permissible for myself in the safety of his environment, which I think made it easier. You know, not everybody has that. So that's not lost on me.
It's also, we live in such an interesting time. I was actually watching Holland on Larry King Live, and Holland is your partner. Are you guys married? Or
we're not married. A lot of people call her my wife, and we're not married.
You're not married yet. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. But she was saying he was, you know, being Larry and hammering her with questions. Yes. And he was like, have you always been a lesbian?
And she was so taken aback. It's just like so aggressive. You know, and
I think her response was essentially like, I sort of am who I am. And this is a new time when people are defining or living. I never lived a secret.
Yeah. She never lived a secret. You know, she loved who she loved and, you know, never hid that. It just, the spotlight wasn't on her in a way that anyone demanded she make some kind of statement or you know, acknowledge something. But, you know, she never lived a secret life. So, but it wasn't a non-event for her to have a new awareness of her when we got together.
Yeah.
Because of our age difference, it became a real conversation thing. People really wanted to talk about it, and BuzzFeed wanted to do a lot of little memes about why we were cool and what our tweets were, and you know, it became this whole thing. And it was such a lovely response. And I think you know, and she would say this if she were sitting here, she was very concerned about how it would affect me, that someone might think I was a weirdo for being in love with someone who is so much older than you know, and that she thought it would reflect badly on me. So her concern was always about me, not about her. But it has been an adjustment for her too, because she also comes from a, you know, particular time where so much of, she may not have lived a secret life, but a lot of that, you know, she was a young woman so it's been an adjustment for her to be comfortable with it. And I think
I love that you slid into her DMs and that sure sparked your romance.
It really did. But it wasn't, just to be clear, because I think I said this on Watch What Happens Live. It wasn't like I was like, hey, hot stuff, or can we go to, it wasn't like that. It was, we were having dinner in a sort of platonic way, but then it evolved into something after we were, you know, having a meal together. It wasn't like, didn't slide into her DMs like being like, let's go on a date. It wasn't like that. It was like,
well, she said that you picked up on the fact that she was feeling sad.
She was feeling particularly, it was a bluesy time for her, and I just kept checking in, and we didn't have any kind of intimacy at that point to warrant that. So I think it was very moving to her and that I was doing that. But she, because of our age difference, it never occurred to her that I was on the make at all, which I don't think I was at the time, even though I had sent a picture of her to one of my best friends, Elizabeth Reeser, and I was like, do you think it's crazy? I have weirdly want to go out. I don't know. I don't know.
She's beautiful.
She's beautiful. Yeah, she is.
She's beautiful. Yeah, I think it's amazing, too, because obviously in our culture, when you hit, I don't know what the cliff is, 50?
30.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But that you lose your relevance and you stop being a sexual being and you're discarded. And so I think it's an amazing flipping of the script.
Well, it's just, I mean, nobody would be having this conversation if it was an older man. And if our age difference were what it is.
Yeah.
And I were a man or she were a man and I was, it just, the conversation becomes, it's like a little bit of a thing of like, oh, but then like,
right, or it's there's an assumption of power exchange.
Totally, or a daddy issue or some other kind of thing, and it's just so reductive. I don't believe in it. To me, I do think, for whatever reason, I've been blessed with this ability to just be like, I see a person, and the body is sort of it's her age, all that is just sort of ancillary to who her, what her soul is. And that's sort of all that matters to me.
Yeah. You know? Well, you guys have captured the imagination of the nation.
Yeah, I get it. Copy that.
I think it's cool.
We're going to take a quick break. There's a workout, then there's a Goop workout, and then there's Goop League. Goop League is our first major fitness-focused experience. We're launching this new event the weekend of October 12th to 13th in a city that we love and that's become something of a second home to us. That's Austin, Texas, guys. And we'll be at our favorite, the Line Hotel in downtown Austin, right on the river. What in the world can you expect from the Goop team this time? Goop League is all about tapping into the incredible potential of the body. We're bringing together some of the most talented and cutting-edge instructors and experts from the world of fitness. These are the people who are redefining physical wellness and shaping the way we think about and approach the mind-body-soul connection. As a guest at Goop League, you'll get to take three classes with these top practitioners in several different studio spaces: ground, lift, pulse, burn, and release. And some of my very favorite teachers will be there, like Anna Ray, a former dancer from LA who has developed a wholly unique, compelling, and fun movement method that revolves around reconditioning your fascia. It's extraordinary, I promise. And Colette Dong from The Ness in New York City will also be there. The executive team at Goop recently did The Ness's new bounce and sculpting classes together when we were out on the East Coast. It was hard, I'm not gonna lie, but it was kind of hilarious and very cool. And of course, you'll get to see and do a lot more if you come to Goop League. There will be our pop-up shop, food, drinks, and a bunch of power stations where we'll have tools for soothing sore muscles, relaxing, and just finding a little zen. So to join the Goop League, you can get a pass for the event on Saturday, October 12th or Sunday, October 13th. Just head to goop.com/goopleague. And now back to today's conversation. So, do you, going back to Xandra, like, what was it? What is it in her?
I think, because in the book, there's a tremendous amount of Xandra in the book that is not in the movie. And, you know, that's what happens when you try to condense an 800-page novel into something more digestible in a movie. In the book, the way she is described, it might, you know how you read a book at a particular time in your life and you even see it on your shelf years later and you remember where you were mm-hmm. mentally or emotionally and you kind of connect to that story. And because I was single, I had had a breakup and I was living alone and it was new for me. And it was a kind of isolating time. I was really alone and mm-hmm. I tend to have a bit of a loner tendency anyway. You know, I have a best friend, Amanda Pete, who I'll go shopping or something. And she'll be like, when did you get that? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I just went there the other day. And she's like, why didn't you call me? I was like, I just wanted to go. I didn't, you know, it's not that I don't love you passionately. It's just I want it. And she's like, oh, I'm not like that. And, you know, it's just a funny thing. So I sometimes tend to like to be by myself. So it wasn't a hardship of mine to be reading this book and be, you know, a sad, lonely girl, because it really wasn't that. But the book just had a lot of resonance for me in terms of not only what you said about grief and loss, but it was really a beautiful story about the passage of time and mm-hmm. who you are, who you become, what all the elements that go into where you end up at different points in your life and why, and about friendship and betrayal. I think it just really spoke to me. And Xandra, you know, she's sort of in the beginning it depicted in this way where she's just sort of awful and that gum chomping and all of that. But the truth of the matter is she's just a kind of unevolved person mm-hmm. and emotionally underdeveloped and just that sort of base level animal feeling of wanting her boyfriend all to herself and not wanting anything to come in between that. And Theo arrives, this young boy arrives, and that was like not part of her plan. With her dude, she was going to have this like fun Las Vegas life and whatever drugs they were doing, whatever life they were living on the fringes of society, really, and these, you know, this nightlife and sleeping all day. And, you know, there was something about her desperation for him and her need to be number one that was so childlike that I understood it. It was like some people I would talk to be like, oh, I hated her. She was such a... I was like, oh, I just see her as sort of more complicated than that. And so mm-hmm. the reason I wanted to play her is I thought, oh, I would love to be able to try to not have this be this sort of surface, mm-hmm. you know, idea of this sort of harpy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I attempted to do that, and I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know if I accomplished it, but she was more complicated to me than what she was on the surface. And I always, also I like playing characters whose moral compass may be turned upside down, you know, because I think a lot of actors I think are only interested in playing things where there's heroism involved and where their connection to the audience is about likability, and which I understand from a business standpoint, you know, you get other jobs because audiences love to see you. But I feel like it sort of can put you in a position where you are only expected to play that kind of part. And I feel like it's partly our responsibility as performers to sort of reflect back what society looks like, what life looks like, what the people, I mean, we've all encountered a Xandra mm-hmm. in our lives, and we all have a piece of that in ourselves. And I do feel like it's more interesting to watch something that you can recognize, whether it's like, oh my God, my aunt is just like that, or oh, my mother. Like, you can see yourself in mm-hmm. in behavior that is more complicated and isn't only about somebody saving the day or doing the most noble thing all the time.
Yeah.
We don't always make those choices, try as we might. And of course, I don't want to live my life the way Xandra does, but it's the same part I played in 12 Years a Slave. That woman was really an unconscious, shockingly horrible woman who just was a real product of her time and didn't know to think beyond what she had been taught.
Yeah.
And she had limitations. And I think also you can't tell the story of Lupita's character or of Chiwetel's character if you don't have Michael Fassbender and myself playing those people, leaning into their complications and their awfulness, because if we were worried about being liked, I remember Steve McQueen just being like, you cannot judge her and you cannot worry about being liked, because then we don't get to tell the story.
Right.
If you soft pedal it, you're doing it for your own interest and not for the greater good. I mean, we're there to serve a story, and this story of the Goldfinch is really about Theo. And if I worry about how I'm going to be perceived by the audience and if they're going to like me or not like me, you know, then I'm not helping to tell the story, which is really what my job is, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and it's interesting too, because in so many ways she is detestable, but she's also like that. There's an amazing moment of your exchange around Thanksgiving dinner and the reservation, but like you can just see in your face sort of this, not even an ambivalence, but you've communicated so well without saying anything.
Well,
like,
thanks.
Please don't opt into our
reservation. It's like, this is all I have, is whatever, we're going to wherever we're going, which is like a buffet somewhere at some shitty hotel. But for Xandra, that's like an exciting night out, and she's going to put on her Lucite heels and she's wearing a new lipstick. And like, that's it for her. That's like a great day, and she doesn't want it ruined. And we all, you know, that very thing can be something for different and, for everyone, but
right. And Xandra, anyone can tap into that.
And anybody
that
can understand, like, oh, you don't want your mother-in-law to come, you don't want your sister to come, you know.
Right.
It's totally human.
I know we're out of time, but
we're out of time?
Yes. But if you look,
that's not enough time.
I have
can
one.
Can we keep talking?
One question. No.
Okay.
No?
Okay. You can keep talking.
One final question.
Okay.
When you read, are you trying to work something out in yourself? Like, when you look at parts?
Oh, you mean parts?
Yeah, like when you're assessing a role, is it more that you're like the act of mimicry, or is it that?
No, I think the truth of the matter is that like I spent a lot of time not working. So the minute I started getting asked to do things, I was just like, yes, 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 I'll just. So I never really had a career design or a career plan. It was sort of like a script came to me, they wanted me to do it. And if it was at all scary to me, is more the thing I look for.
Yeah.
I want to be frightened and afraid I'm not going to be able to do it. That will interest me more. I don't know. It's just some things either speak to me, or I want to work with the director, or there's an actor I want to work with. And I don't care often how small the part is either. You know, I just want to work on things that I think have resonance for me or for what I would imagine would be other human beings walking the planet. I don't know. I wish I could say there was some kind of master thought or plan or organization around it. I'm much more of a fly by the seat of my pants kind of gal.
I'm into it.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with Sarah Paulson. Do yourself a favor and check her out in the new movie, The Goldfinch, in theaters now. That's it for today's episode. If you have a chance, please rate and review. Hit subscribe to keep up with new episodes and pass it along to a friend. Thanks again for joining. I hope you'll come back this Thursday for more. And in the meantime, you can check out goop.com/thepodcast.